I don't know why I've never asked you this, but the question sort of pops up in my mind every so often. Why regulated strawberry?
So here's the thing, is that I knew I wanted to write Reaching New Heights. I didn't even have a AO3 account, right?
And
I
was like, Did you have a Twitter at that point?
No, I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything. It was really hard. I've gone through title changes with my fic. You think I could come up with a username? So the thing is, with AO3, you have to wait a week and a half to actually be able to make an AO3 account, because they kind of filter it really slowly.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is on TikTok, I saw people just having these random ass usernames, extra processed spaghetti or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. I think I just thought I was being a little haha quirky and cute. But I think I knew I wanted to be strawberry. I just didn't know what to do.
What type?
Yeah, what type? And maybe there's an element of projection, I want to be regulated. I'm sure you wouldn't characterize me as regulated.
But I wouldn't, I didn't necessarily have a positive connotation with the word regulated, honestly, so I don't know if that really matters.
Interesting. So you thought I was being self-deprecating.
I thought that regulated was very strict and stark. I was like, somebody is controlling her. Like, somebody is watching and regulating what she does, how she behaves. Like, to me, it feels like a prep school master, sort of Matilda-esque oppression and suppression.
That's so interesting. I was thinking more as regulating myself, from unhingedness.
Staying regular.
Yeah.
Stay regular. Straws.
Maybe I should have been regular Straws. Would that have been better?
Wait, yes, because I'm an extraordinary bee.
Wait. You're on to something.
It's just funny. I always thought of it. Did you ever play Pop Tropica?
Yes.
So when you made a character, you would randomize two names that were like Pink Beluga or Cloud.
Yes.
Cloud Versatility. Cloud Regulated Versatility. Strawberry always seemed like a Pop Tropica-ass name to me.
Well, I did play Pop Tropica, so you know what?
Who did?
You've connected threads that I didn't even know existed in my life.
That's gamer girl behavior. Yeah. Is playing Pop Tropica. All 51 Pop Tropica islands.
And Girls Go Games.
Ah, fuck yeah, dude. I loved Girls Go Games.
I really liked the did you ever play the games on Barbie.com?
Yeah, of course. And PolyPocket.com and MyScene.com.
MyScene.
I know.
MyScene was the shit. I don't think anyone gets it.
But now we're too deep in the rabbit hole, and we have to get out of this rabbit hole. We'll talk about Girls Go Games and MyScene later.
All right. Okay. Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And the Bee and the Berry is an irregularly released podcast where we talk about all things Sonic, fandom, and fan creation.
And Girls Go Games.
And Girls Go Games. And Gamer Girl speedrun strats for BMX rider on Girls Go Games.
Yes.
Speedrun strat for that MyScene dress-up game.
Yeah.
I loved that era of online gaming.
It was
fun. Those
Barbie
games were so fun.
One day we need to have an episode where we dive into the BCU, the Barbie Cinematic Universe.
Well, here's the thing, is if we dive into the Barbie Cinematic Universe, we're never coming out.
But that's not what we're going to do today.
No, fuck Barbie. We're not going to talk about her anymore, even though it's so tempting.
I know.
We're going to talk about questions submitted from you. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Sonic Crossroads, because at the time of recording, that was just announced, and I'm sure it'll still be relevant by the time this comes out. But looking cute. Neither of us got the beta, so we haven't been able to play, but I've been seeing the footage all over Blue Sky, and everything's looking so cute. Very fun.
Yeah, the beta looks really fun. I unfortunately am PS5-less, so I didn't sign up for it. There is a lot of footage out there. Me personally, because I like to go into games with as very little as possible sometimes, like, except for maybe the first trailer. I'm the type of person where I'm like, I don't like to look too much at things, but it looks really fun.
Yeah, it does. The little cartoon emotes are so cute. That's my favorite thing about, like, games like this, is there's just, like, character animations, new character emotes, new character poses, new character voice lines, and I just love, you know, getting it more a treasure trove of, like, character content for gifts and things like that. So cute.
Actually, I will say, though, I did buy Team Sonic Racing recently.
Oh, really?
So I started playing that. Yeah, it was like $15 on the eShop, and I'm like, all right, why not?
Yeah, everything's been on sale.
Yeah, so, I mean, I started playing that, and it's pretty fun. I think that with the character dialogue, it's fun, but there's a couple of things left to be desired with characterization for me personally. Shadow's kind of rough.
Really?
Yeah. And also, for some reason, everyone is like kind of mean to Big.
Huh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know, like, people talk to him, like, Tails and Amy kind of talk to him in a condescending manner. And I'm like, guys, this is your friend, like, you know, like,
you stupid idiot.
No, literally, that is literally how they sound. Like, Big will just be vibing and they're like, okay, Big, sure. And it's like, oh, girl, do you like him or not? Like, he's just trying to live. Big is protecting his peace.
Yeah, honestly, that is so true, and he's an icon for that. Let Big live. Let Big protect his goddamn peace.
Yes.
I think, actually, that's such a huge breakthrough, Shrub. Big was always kind of like a whatever character to me, but actually that's beautiful, and I think that's an exact assessment of his character.
Yeah.
That, like, I relate to.
Because, okay, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I think sometimes people think that Big is stupid.
For sure.
And I think that's so unfair to him. He chooses to find joy in the world around him, you know?
Right.
If anything, he's almost like a monk or something, where I feel he just focuses on, you know, like, the joy of nature. He doesn't hold on to the strong material wants of the world.
That is incredible. Reaching New Heights, a Big Adventure. That's the sequel to
Tails'
solo adventure.
You are right.
Well, we'll see how the characterization, you know, goes in the new game.
It seems fun from what I've seen.
Excited to play. Okay. Shall we get into our questions? Our question and answer period. Our fun BBQ&A.
Yes. Is BBQ part two?
It's BBQ part three, actually.
Yeah.
The trilogy. The most famous trilogy in all of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So our first question comes to us, and shout out to my incredible partner, Straubs, for putting all these together in a place where we can access them. Our first question comes from Twitter, from Purpley Space. Hello, Purpley Space. Thank you so much for this question. Burning question. And this is a special category, burning question. How can I write my fanfics more aesthetically? I want to add more feelings to almost every scene and show a range of emotions to each character, but pretty. How can I play with the words? What are your inspirations to achieve this?
Purpley Space, I think what you're looking for is poetry.
Agreed.
And poetry is hard. I I actually want to dive a little bit more into understanding, like, how to write poetry. I have a friend who does it, actually, and they are so awesome at it. And I'm like, oh, like, it is kind of like you have to take in a lot of poetry, though, and mm-hmm. know how to analyze and understand that. But I think that's the biggest thing, is to study how people play with words and create metaphors.
Totally agree. Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to cultivate depth. And definitely reading poetry is one of them. And just like reading in general, consuming prose is good. And consuming just media, identifying what you like about what they're doing, knowing your literary devices, practicing poetry. I also think journaling is really important. I spent a lot of my young life journaling sort of mm-hmm. in depth about things that I felt. And trying to put words to them. And I think that really helped try to externalize feelings, which are all internal.
Mm-hmm. Thesaurus, another thing.
I was going to say, don't do that, actually. I can always tell when somebody is writing with a thesaurus right next to them. I'm like, okay, because nobody uses that word, you know?
Yeah.
I would never advocate for like flowery prose to the detriment of readability and also like truthfulness to the things you know and are capable of writing.
I use it more like not necessarily just to pull out random words that I mm-hmm. don't know, but like it's more so like sometimes like, oh, like you're trying to, there's a word at the tip of your tongue
that for sure.
you can't quite find. So for me, it's like, I will use the thesaurus to be like, oh, yes, like that is a word that I know, but I forgot about. But I totally agree with you that like, don't just like pick words from a thesaurus that you don't fully understand how to utilize. I also think the other thing, too, is when you're writing your work, you got to read it out loud and hear how it sounds.
Yes. Oh, I agree so hard with that. You got to read it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing, too, song lyrics.
Oh, yeah. That's fair, because that's poetry in its own right. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That, like, it just came to my mind that even if maybe, you know, traditional poetry feels a little daunting to look into, I would look at the lyrics to, you know, some of your favorite songs, or, you know, even just to listen to new music, but to really take in the words and analyze them. I don't know. I think that there's a lot that you could actually, like, pull from, whether it's from like a folk genre or rap. At least those two genres really come to mind when I think about like poetry and lyricism.
All good recommendations. I hope any of that was helpful.
Yes.
It takes work and it just takes practice, so keep writing.
Yes. All right, our next question comes from SKO Jukebox on Tumblr.
Hi, SKO Jukebox.
Hi.
Hi.
They are so awesome, and I do appreciate their support. Their question is, are there any strange or unlikely places you've drawn inspiration from in your writing? Something that gave you ideas for a scene or a line that you never normally would have connected to Sonic?
Hmm. I'm sure there are, because all I do all the time is consume media.
Actually, in chapter 3 of my fic, it's like, it's the scene where like Sonic is like kicking back on like a lounge chair. And I don't know why, but I feel like that was like an internal Barbie reference. To something.
Oh.
The image is Sonic just like lounging on a beach chair with like his lemonade and taking everything in. And I'm like, I don't know. That I feel like that was, if it's not Barbie specifically, I know that I was trying to reach a little bit into like a girly image, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I like that for Sonic.
Absolutely. He loves Takiki.
He does. He does. Actually, I also think Tails loves Takiki.
Ooh.
You know? Like, I think, like, Tails is definitely a little bit of a gossip. And I'm pretty sure they said that in the Twitter takeover. I don't know. I also just like looking at pictures. Sometimes a image or artwork gives me a particular feeling, and so sometimes I'll reach back from that. Or even music, yeah. You know? I know you have talked about music.
I think there's some really specific songs that, like, totally influenced the way things were written. And I didn't even find them. A lot of the ones that influenced me the most on this playlist came from my good Judy Palooza. And
shout
I don't
out
know,
to Palooza.
Shout out. And it feels like, you know, What Was Stolen is nothing except referential, like in every part of it, to all of the medieval fantasy movies that I watched as a kid, most notably, you know, the Disney Robin Hood. And then also I do remember writing the dungeon bit, you know, where Amy goes into the dungeon with Blaze and they, you know, find Shadow and they have that nice, you know, moment of connection. At the time I was really thinking about The Tale of Despero, you know, that book.
Oh yeah.
Where, you know, the princess goes into the dungeon and she meets what is her name? The girl who wants to be beautiful.
Mm.
I think it's like Megary or Megara or something like that. Meg.
Yeah.
But it's very like solemn and somber and sad. And it's about like how there are beautiful things in the depths of the castle. And that's like people want to take like kind, good things and hide them away. And I think like grayness and being afraid of authenticity is a big part of the story, and I wanted to capture that because I think The Tale of Despero is such a gorgeous novel.
I feel like there was also, for me, with Tails crash landing in the jungle, like an element of, do you remember that show Flight 29 Down?
No.
It was like basically a like kids teen version of Lost.
Okay. No, I have literally no idea.
And Corbin Blue was in it.
What? Love that guy.
But yeah, it's basically a show about a plane that's filled with like teenagers and stuff that crash lands on a remote island and they're trying to like survive. There's like a section that I have where it's just like little vignettes of him just like trying to fish and trying to build shelter. At least from the deep recesses from my mind, I feel like I could attribute some of it to that show.
Oh, you know, Honor Among Thieves, which is something I said a few times, that came direct from the fourth Uncharted game.
Mm.
Which is a game my family and I play every year at Christmas time together. And I just really liked that, Honor Among Thieves. And they were talking about like pirates and shit, but I was like, no, I think that's a rule that I will adopt amongst my little crew of woodland thieves.
Hell yeah. Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
Next one is also from Tumblr, from Chaos Cherry Blossom.
Or Chow's Cherry Blossom.
Yeah. Who knows? But the question is, have y'all gone back and engaged with any of the older Sonic media, like the 90s cartoons or the OVAs? If so, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I really enjoy the podcast and hope y'all keep going. Well, thank you.
Thank you. That's so
nice. We will keep going.
We will. Yeah.
With support from viewers like you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah. I'll start because my story is probably shorter than yours, because I haven't seen the OVAs, and I have seen Sonic Underground, which I'm pretty sure was 90s.
Yes.
Sonic Underground, I live for. It's so silly. I love. And also Sonic Underground is one of the few things that my siblings know about Sonic. And so sometimes it's one of those like references that will be sitting around and somebody will say something and then my siblings will be like, siblings born, the throne awaits. Like, they'll start singing the theme song totally randomly. And I love that.
That's so
funny. It's an iconic theme song for sure.
It is.
I will say this. Manic and Sonya will be in one of my next fanfics. They will be. 100%.
Hell yes. Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna hold Sonic Underground necessarily to the pinnacle of media. I will say, though, that I think a lot of the love around it being such a cult classic is the fact that, unfortunately, it's a unfinished story.
Yeah, I know. So sad.
I feel like I'm going to get flamed for this if I say that Sonic X is like older Sonic media.
I don't know if that's 90s.
It's not 90s, but I mean, they did say older Sonic media, and Sonic X is from the 2000s. unfortunately, time passes. I didn't I'll grow up with those. Yeah, I didn't grow up with the 90s cartoons. I mean, I know about them. I've seen some clips, but I'm not too familiar with them. But I want to say a while back or so, I did watch the OVA, and it is so charming. I mean, you know, just that 90s animation, like, you know, Japanese animation style. And I don't know, it's a gorgeous piece of media. It's one of those things where, like, I think it was definitely made a little more with, like, the art and the vibes in mind over maybe, like, it's not a very complex story, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with some films just being pretty. And I think, like, a lot of people love it because of the nostalgia for, you know, like, I think it's traditional animation, like cel-drawn animation, some gorgeous backgrounds. And I was, you know, really enamored by that. So, you know, hopefully it can get a re-release. Hopefully we ever get media that kind of honors that, you know, that taste, because it's gorgeous. I'm really obsessed with the art style of that.
Yeah. But did you ever consider that they made a vow and their mother will be found in Sonic Underground?
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so funny.
It's like, great. How did that
happen? Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Oh, another silly one from Tumblr. This comes from Anonymous. If this is you, thank you for the question.
Yeah, thank you. Opinion on Ivo Robotnik's streamer arc that got cut from Sonic 3.
Cute.
I see the vision, honestly.
I do too.
I kind of wish they kept it in there.
Yeah, it also
because
makes,
it would have been funny.
The end moment make like sense. A little bit more roundabout sense when he like goes and he's like, this is my final live stream. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you live streamed.
My thing is more like, how would Ivo explain streaming to Gerald?
Oh my gosh.
You know, I mean, I'm not that I don't think Gerald could, like, Gerald would understand the concept of streaming, but I don't think he'd get like why you'd like want to have this following or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
it does seem like there's been little bits and pieces of cut material floating around. This is actually not from Sonic 3, but it's from Sonic 1. Have you seen the clip of Rachel and Wade?
Yeah, I have. And I was like, where the fuck is this from? And also, no, cursed Rachel. Rachel, no. Wade Whipple? No.
She wants that.
Ew, gross. I'm going to bleep you. You've been censored. Consider yourself regulated, Strawberry.
So we have an answer to the question. I'm regulated by B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oppressed.
I just, I don't know. That's, it's really funny to me, though.
Yeah, it's so crazy. We could be living in a totally different world.
we could. I mean, it's Wade Whipple. I just think it's funny to see him exercise Riz.
Yeah.
Do you exercise Riz? Comment down below.
Oh, that's actually our next question. That's so crazy. On Tumblr, from Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. Do you exercise Riz?
Yes.
No, I think no on my end.
Yeah, me neither. I'm what? Rizless.
That's a lie. You are so charismatic.
Well, I thought we were both lying.
Oh. Oh. That wasn't a real question we got. That was a bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lied to you.
I do want to know if this anonymous person is the same anonymous person who asked me if, if I knew that strawberries weren't real fruits.
Yeah, who did that?
We'll never know.
Our next question comes from Blue Sky from Crater Labs. Hello, Crater Labs. Thank you for the question. This is a big one. How to get started on writing a Sonic fanfic? How do you just start, Straub?
I don't know. You have an idea. It's hard.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the main premise of wanting to write fanfic and fan works in general is to explore something that would not otherwise be explored within canon. Fan works that are especially popular are going to be, you know, things centered around ships or things that are centered around connecting threads that haven't been utilized or elaborated on as much within the canon source material. So I think it's really about digging into, like, I really like to focus on character motivations when I write. I mean, that's like the theater kid in me. When your director is like, think of what does your character want in this scene? But I think if you know, want to to use that principle to apply it to creating a fan works, you know, think about, like, what do these characters want and how do you want to, like, twist up the setting and reinvent it? How do, you know, a locations and circumstance impact characters' needs and wants? So I don't know. It's like, I just feel like there is so much that can be explored from anything. It, like, really, the world is your oyster with fan fiction, honestly.
Wow, that was a really good answer. I was just sort of thinking, like, how, like, where do you start writing? I was gonna say, like, I'd never start writing until I have kind of an idea of the full arc of the fanfic, and I don't have to plot it out in detail. I typically don't. And then I just always think, like, where do I want to drop in to the story? Like, where's our starting moment? Because, you know, a story and a character has a very, very, very long life, you know, past the end of where your story goes, before the start of your story. And, like, I could have, you know, started out 1 year earlier when Amy started training with Shadow, and that would have made the story longer. But I don't know. I don't find that time period interesting or necessary to what the actual climax of the plot in this story was going to be. So the real inciting incident in the moment that I wanted to drop in on was 1 year later when the norm was established and now things are changing for Amy and she has to act. So she's got to do something if she wants to have power in her marriage or in the kingdom. And also, Shadow knows the tournament is coming up and he is going to offer this as a way to, you know, get some power or make some change. And that's the inciting incident. That's where I want to start. And everything else that comes after is the story. So I just think, like, where's the most dynamic place to kick off your story? And you'll have to do some setup, obviously. There is no story without exposition, but if you give yourself time and you rewrite it, there's always ways to work it in. That's not boring.
I don't know. For me, like, of course, like, reaching new heights was basically supposed to be a continuation of Frontiers, but I just, it was very clear to me from the get-go that I wanted it to be everyone on the tornado, because that's where they, you know, that's how they got to the Starfall Islands in the first place, and that's how they left. And I just knew that I wanted to revisit that, but also because I knew that things were going to pick up immediately. They weren't going to be hanging out for a while. Like, Tails was going to just want to, he was just going to want to bounce, because the feeling that he has of, you know, feeling like he constantly is depending on Sonic and is not as reliable as he feels he is. Like, I knew that that was something that was just going to sit and affect him. And I wanted there to be that, you know, that call to instant action. Like, he's just like, nope, I'm going to go and take care of this. And yeah, I don't know that I did debate on that goodbye scene for a little bit, but I'm actually pretty happy with how it came out.
No, that feels like a really good scene, important scene.
Yeah, but yeah, thank you for the question. The next one is also from Blue Sky. It is from Crest Kitchen. Hello,
shout out. Hi, Crest.
Hi.
Hi.
What?
I was like, it's just funny. It's just funny to say hi. God. Hi. I don't know. I'm tickled, yeah. Hi.
What approach do you try to take when writing for kids or any group or individual whose voice or language doesn't come to you easily?
Yeah, this is interesting. A personal rule of mine is I stay away from writing accents. Even if the character has an accent, I'll say they have an accent, and then I will still write it without the accent, because I think that unless you're good at it, know what you're talking about, know the language, know what you're doing. A real easy way to make your writing feel cheesy is to write in an accent.
Yeah.
I love an occasional, like, apostrophe cut off, like running, or getcha, spelled like G-E-T-C-H-A. But even too many of those, I'm like, well, then it starts to sound like the voice in your head as you read, it just sounds a little cheesy. So I don't typically write accents.
I think I am a little comfortable, like, if I had to write a child's voice. Like, I think about when I write Cream, you know, because Cream is a younger character. I mean, I worked in education for a bit. So
yeah.
I think I have a better sense of, like, the language milestones of, like, how kids talk at certain ages, because sometimes, like, people kind of have, like, 7-year-olds talking in very incomplete sentences or,
totally,
you know, not conjugating verbs, and it's like, no, 7-year-olds, they can form sentences. They should be, ideally. I would also just in general, like, be mindful of accents and stuff, especially writing demographics if you are not from that culture.
Yep.
To be very mindful of that, because it can just come across the wrong way if you're not careful. But I think, I don't know, for me, like, when I think about, like, if I do want to voice a kid, like, again, I think about when I write Cream as a character, I try to focus less on, like, exaggerating, like, grammar or an accent, and focus more on the character's worldview. I don't know if that makes sense, but, like,
no, totally.
Like, I think kids are really curious, you know, when I write her, like, I want to lean more into that curiosity, because, you know, they're still taking in the world, and, you know, so instead of thinking more about, like, oh, like, how, you know, does this character say this, like, just think more about, like, again, what's the character wants, and what, like, you know, where are they in life? What have they and haven't they experienced? And I mean, the other thing to that, too, is, like, just taking in the appropriate materials, right? So with Cream, like, it is going to be looking at what her dialogue and voice lines is across the different, you know, shows and games and stuff, just to see kind of a ballpark. And then I work on thinking about how I want the tone of my fic to be. So I hope that is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't write children. I don't identify or relate to children.
Wow.
Even the one child Amy danced with and what was stolen, I think she said like one line. Otherwise, I made her just like nod and be shy.
Aw. That's valid, though.
Oh, man. That's funny. Okay, and then our final question also comes from Creator Labs on Blue Sky.
How do you handle showcasing your personal headcanons, heart cannons?
Heart cannons is cute.
Yeah, that is cute. Or momentary like fun twists in a fan creation that might not fit the rest of the fandom's takes on things, such as favorite ships depicting characters in different orientations or identities, etc. Do you have anything in your fix that you feel like deviates from canon, you know, personality wise? Or
I don't know. I try to work with the base character, but here's what I'll say. The weird thing about fan fiction and fan creation is that it is that specific creator's interpretation of the character. Mm-hmm. And hey, so is the canon. That is that specific, yeah, you know, creator team of people working on it. And there is more regulation from people who are given the stamp of authority. But everybody who creates something with a character is working off of their interpretation of that character. So mm-hmm. I am sure, more than sure, that I have written words, lines of dialogue that have rung untrue to some people out there. But the nature of fan fiction is that it's mine and I'm writing it the way that I want to write it. And so, like, even Son Amy is not a official ship and it may never be. And there are a lot of people who don't like it. And that's totally fine. That's absolutely all right. But I would like to see this ship. I'd like to see them written this way. And this is the way I wrote them. And so I think just like the way I handle it is just by writing my fan fiction and knowing that it's mine. And if people have notes or thoughts or don't like the way it was done, like, that's fine. You didn't write it. So,
yeah.
Of course you're going to think there are things that should be different.
And I know that not everyone might agree with this. I like that there is a lot of different interpretations and worlds within the Sonic canon in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really fun to see what different writers and stuff do with these characters. But I think when you are writing fan fiction, you are writing for yourself. You are writing stories that are authentic to, ideally are authentic to you and your mm-hmm. personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the beauty of it, is that it's for the joy.
Yeah.
And so as long as what you are writing is making you happy, then go for it. I do think that if you are going to write characters who have different lived experiences from mm-hmm. yours, I think it is very, very important to do your research and be mm-hmm. respectful, because you are mm-hmm. also not putting that work out into a vacuum.
Absolutely. Right. The things you write do affect people.
Yes, the things you write do affect people. And, you know, I always encourage, you know, just taking some sort of caution if you are, again, writing outside of your own experiences about experiences that might be true to the lives of other people.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good way to put it. I'll also say I think that using tags on AO3 is important and powerful. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to, say, write a fan fiction that depicts Amy Rose as a violent stalker who kills Sonic the Hedgehog because she just loves him so much, tag you tag appropriately so that people don't go in expecting, like, Amy lovers who would really feel upset to see her represented that way, mm-hmm. don't go in and get blindsided. So tag it as M, tag it as violence, tag, like, Amy, like, as a stalker, or, like, stalker exploration, or, like, major character death. Use that tag too. That way people know, because the way that you're going to get the right audience is by tagging mm-hmm. your things in a way that informs them as to what they're getting into, so that, you know, people who are actually interested in engaging with whatever it is you're interested in engaging with also appear there.
Yeah, and please don't use tags that are not relevant to your fic to get exposure, because what you will unintentionally do is break the trust of your audience,
your readers.
They will just see you as like, oh, they just put anything on the tags of their fic, so I can't even trust what I am reading from them. So, you know, tag appropriately. Yeah. Even for me, I guess, like, one of my headcanons that I hold a little true to myself is that Blaze's kingdom is South Asian inspired, and that makes me happy as a South Asian person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, if I ever wrote her, or depicted her, I might lean into that a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just, I don't expect it to resonate with everyone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's just, again, like, we're all just people, you know?
We are all just people. And if people, like, come for you on Twitter and are like, why would you write Blaze as South Asian? Why are there so many, like, references and inspirations to South Asian culture in your fan fiction? You are under no obligation to defend your choices to people.
No.
Because typically if they're out there poking at you, they don't really want, they're not going to take that defense in and, like, change their mind anyway. Like, you know, we're really, honestly, you said it, 2025 is the year of protecting your peace. It's 2025 is not Amy's year, it's Big's year, actually. It's the year of Big the Cat and protecting your peace.
Protect your peace. Hashtag Big the Cat.
All right. That's kind of our last question for this round. We definitely got more questions. There are just some that we were saving for later. Obviously, the BBQ&A is ongoing. We're always having BBQ&As. And so if you did not get your question answered this round, don't worry. I'm sure we'll answer it later. Or not. No promises.
We're not. No promises.
And if this sparked a question in you, feel free to find this at any of our social medias and leave a question on a post or in an ask box, wherever you want.
Yeah. That's at the Be the Berry on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Tumblr. Or even if you'd like to drop a comment on our YouTube channel, also at the Be the Berry, drop a comment. You know, tell us what you think. If you'd like to add to this discussion, we are always open to hearing more ideas and to learning from our community. Because that's the space that we really want to cultivate with our platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And always, you know, smash that like button, like and subscribe, and leave a comment down below. All that good stuff. Smash that like button.
Okay, Sophia Nygaard.
All right, well, let's start cleaning up the barbecue. The ants are coming, and I have like a million bug bites, so it's headed for the day. But thanks everybody for joining, and of course, as we always say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry,
it may not be canon, but it is correct.
Ciao.